our prayer school service, like I said, and our, we call it the School of Spirit, School of Perfection, because our emphasis is teaching prophetically by the help of the Holy Spirit on Christian perfection, which is the current present truth that God wants the church to be established in, because we have reached a time in history which is indicative of the end of the age. However, the age cannot close, will not close, without the church growing into and manifesting the perfection, the fullness of Christ. That is a prerequisite for the coming of the Lord. Sadly, this truth is not emphasized. In some places, not even known. And where it's known, it's probably not emphasized as much as it should be. In fact, people see it as, well, take it or leave it. But really, well, you could. That will affect you individually, but it will not affect the purpose of God. The purpose of God will go on. But there's no take or leave it. Without it, Jesus cannot come. Recently in church, and I'm writing the weekly Ramos at the moment, I was talking about hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. This is the five, this is 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 12. And you know, traditionally, most Christians, you know, I'm amazed how much of that is on the internet, it's all over the whole place. But like expecting Jesus tomorrow. And some Christians, you know, some people expect him in September 23rd because of a constellation in the heavens, you know, which symbolized the Revelation chapter 12, in a sense. You know, all those things are signs. They're not wrong. They're just signs. The blood moon tetrad, you know, that we had between 2014 and 2015. So many Christians expect that Jesus will come, you know, the rapture will happen around that time. Yes, those things are there, but those things are just pointers. They're not signs. In fact, Jesus himself, you know, part of our problem is we don't read the book properly. You know, Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, he didn't say, I'm coming there. He said, lift up your head. He said, for your redemption draweth nigh. He didn't say, it's now. He said, it's drawing nigh. So those things were, they are indicators, prophetic signs. You know, if I'm coming from Lagos on this expressway here to Ibadan, and I get to maybe a place like the quarry. There's a quarry close to Ibadan. You know, it's close to Ibadan, but it's not Ibadan yet. If you stop there, you have a long way to walk. Amen. But it is a sign that you are close to Ibadan. So it is. These prophetic things in the heavens are signs that the coming of the Lord is close, but it does not mean it is now. Hello, somebody. Because there are many, many other things that have to be properly synchronized for the Lord to come. Praise the Lord. And so that's our emphasis. We're preparing the church, teaching so that we can have faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as we exercise ourselves in the things that the Holy Spirit is showing us, then we get ourselves ready. It's possible not to be ready. Very, very possible. In fact, Jesus warned about it so many times. You know, by the time he starts warning and warning, he says, take heed lest your hearts be overcharged through surfeiting and drunkenness, lest that day come upon you unawares. It means he can't. If he can't, he won't tell you that. It means he can. You know, you can get so wrapped up in what's going on in this world, particularly with all the trouble that's going on. You know, you can get so enamored by, you know, APC and PDP, and that they parted the budget, and this one did this and that one. You know, well, you know, you should be praying for the country, but don't get your heart involved in all of that. You know, so that your heart is not consumed by all of those things. But rather, you need to prepare spiritually. Let's just pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We thank you for the great honor and privilege of bringing us here to come and hear your word. We enter the word with humility. We're we recognize that we're limited naturally in our ability to unravel the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into human words. And therefore we need the help of the Holy Spirit to come and help us to unravel it. And therefore we ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so indeed I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of those who are here listening to me, and those who will hear me remotely electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray as we speak that the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great measure to back these words, to follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, oh my God, so I will deliver this word indeed with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out a treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned as I prayed in their own individual life agreed with me and said, Amen. Yeah, so God's purpose for the church now is for us to grow into and manifest the perfection, the fullness of Christ, using the Lord Jesus Christ as our pattern. Jesus lived a normal life, praise the Lord. You know, he was born like every other baby was born, you know, in Bethlehem as a baby. It's very interesting. God didn't do anything spooky with Jesus. So trust me, he's not going to do anything spooky with you. Jesus was in the womb for 9 months like everybody else. There wasn't any miraculous, you know, he also got into the womb and then in 2 weeks he was born. God did not override the natural things, even though he lived a supernatural life. And that's something we got to learn, you know. We got to learn how to be naturally supernatural. In other words, we're going to be living a normal life like everybody else, but there will always be a supernatural aspect to our lives. Praise the Lord. The Christian life is a supernatural life, but it's not a spooky one. Hello? You know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but, you know, because when we teach and preach these things, particularly about the glory, the power, you know, you can go off into all kinds of extremes and want to start doing all kinds of funny things like walk on water every day. You know, if many of us are like Jesus, we'll never use a boat. What's the need of using a boat when I can walk on water, for heaven's sake? So, you know, y'all get every day, y'all get out, you know, walk on the water. Jesus didn't do things like that. You know, he only did things when the Spirit of God directed him to do it. He didn't do things to show off. He had a humble spirit, you know. He didn't do things to be spectacular and, you know, try and draw attention to himself. He always did only what God wanted him to do. Are you listening to me? And so Jesus lived a normal life. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. And he operated his ministry out of a place called Capernaum. These three places, you know, symbolize three levels of our spiritual growth. We get born again, you know, and then we grow to some degree, and then we grow into full maturity at Capernaum. It was from Capernaum he ministered, but it was after he had grown and he was 30 years old that God gave him the Spirit without measure. Now, this is a concept I was sharing with Pastor Boyega today. I don't hear many Christians talk about this. You know, we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and we speak in tongues, and we think that's all there is. And you find them trying to use that experience to do all kinds of miracles and all that kind of thing. Like, but if you look at the ministry of Christ and you follow him, Jesus certainly had the Holy Spirit. Yes, he had the Holy Spirit from his mommy's womb. Yes, just like John the Baptist. You know, and that's something free of charge for all the ladies here. Amen. You're going to have children. You can put the Holy Ghost into your baby. Amen. Oh, yes, from the womb. Remember, John the Baptist wasn't born again. it was in the Old Testament, yet the Holy Ghost was operating inside the baby in the womb. So you can have the Holy Ghost, you know, influencing the baby in the womb, and that's free of charge, praise the Lord. But the whole Jesus had the Holy Spirit, you know, from his mother's womb. You know, when he was 1 year old, he had the Holy Ghost. Amen. When he was 12, we know he had the Holy Spirit. He had so much revelation of scripture, but he didn't do miracles. Now, that's something you got to understand. And the question is, why? Because once you understand this, it opens up the whole truth about spiritual growth and what we're talking about to you. Why? He had the Spirit, but he didn't have it without measure. Simple. Just like you and I have the Holy Spirit now, but we don't have it without measure. That's why there are certain levels of operation and miracles you don't see commonly today. Not because the Holy Ghost isn't there, and not because the power of God is not there. You know, in fact, when Jesus was leaving, he gave us a hint. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. He limited it. Amen. They will speak with new tongues. You know, they will take up serpents. That doesn't mean you're going to start carrying snakes all over the whole place. What he means by that is that you will have supernatural protection if a snake accidentally bites you. Hello? It doesn't mean you're going to start looking like all these gurus in India and you start playing a harp and charming a snake. You know, it certainly doesn't mean that. You know, it says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, so he tells, okay, you have some power. You know, but it's not at the level that he had it. Now, he did promise us that he will do the things that he did and greater. But there are conditions attached to that promise. Because you don't see him doing those things himself until he had grown. The Bible is very, very clear about that. It says he grew in wisdom and in stature. You know, and then when he reached the age of 30, the Bible says the Spirit came upon him and it was... like John said, he said, God gave him the Spirit without limit, without measure. So that's where we're going. You know, we do have the Holy Spirit. You know, we have the power of the Spirit of God. But the Bible reveals to us that what we have now is with measure. See that in the book of Ephesians. It says, according to the measure of the grace. There's a measure. It's a measure of faith. It's a measure. But God wants us to grow spiritually. So that, you know, and become, like I shared recently when I was teaching on being filled, all the fullness of God. If you're not rooted and grounded in love, God can't trust you with that. And it's also instructive that that letter was written to people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was written to the Ephesians who were speaking in tongues. They even had, you know, and he was praying for them to, first of all, to get spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then he now, that's in chapter 1. Then he now prayed a second prayer for them, or, you know, talking about second prayer, he was praying for them so that they'll become rooted and grounded in love, so that they will be filled with all the fullness of God. It means they were not. All right, so we'll be praying for it. Hello? That's what we're preaching about. We're preaching about being filled with all the fullness of God, having the power of the Spirit without measure, which will now enable you to do the works Jesus did and greater. It is obvious, unless we want to deceive ourselves, that we're not doing that yet. I really get, you know, a little bit nervous. Well, I don't know whether I can use the word nervous. You know, I don't get nervous in Jesus' name. But, you know, I'm a little bothered when I hear Christians, say, oh, they did this and they did that and they did that. I say, oh, wait a minute. You know, you can do some things, but you can't do everything at that level yet, because I don't see that level of fruit in your life. So if you now start claiming those things, I put a question mark on it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's some Christians, when you talk to them, say, how that is, it was awesome. And then they, awesome. You know, and then you go to their service, and there's nothing awesome about what he said was awesome. You know, we're so used to exaggerating. We're so used to hype. We're so used to talking, you know, and some people call it faith. It's not faith, it's stupidity and presumptuousness. You know, yes, you know, God wants to do great things in our lives and all of that. But don't exaggerate. You know, the Bible says, be sober. Let every man, you know, be sober according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then develop it. You know, most often we would try and, you know, just to impress people, we say things that are very unrealistic. You know, I believe that, you know, yes, God is working, you know, in our midst, and he wants to take us to all these higher places in God, but it's step by step. The Lord himself did it step by step. He started in Bethlehem, Nazareth, and then, you know, he went on to Capernaum. So for us to grow in these things, we need to operate the same principles he operated. I call those things the seven pillars of wisdom, but really they're just principles, you know, using the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the things that enable us to grow into the perfection of the fullness of Christ. And the first one is the fear of the Lord, which includes honesty and humility of heart. The second one is praying in the Spirit, you know, at different levels. That, you know, there's communion prayer, there's what I call battle prayer, where you're wrestling and you're groaning and interceding, you know. So the different levels of praying in the Spirit. And then there's binding the devil, there's the confession of speaking God's word, then there's meditation, saying God's word in your heart. Then there's fasting and prayer and living a fasted life. These principles, seven principles, they form a cycle, because the last principle, fasting, makes you more humble. The Bible says, I humble my soul with fasting. As you practice these things, you know, consistently, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit begins to work inside you. And what it does, literally, is that it begins to clean out the sin nature that is inside the soul and the body. Now, that's another very important understanding we need to have. You get born again, the divine nature is in the spirit. It's not in the soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's why you still sin. I mean, that's just honest, being honest, praise the Lord. Paul said the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. But the word flesh can be confusing. You know, when you say flesh, you know, most people just think of the physical body. And next thing they think about is sex, you know, which is a half truth. It's true, you know, but that's not really what he's talking about. He's talking about the sin nature inside the physical body, you know, and in the mind and in the will and in the emotions. The Bible actually says the carnal mind is enmity against God. So, you know, the sin nature is simply a distorted form of the divine nature. Is what came to Satan when he got separated from God. When you disconnect from the Creator, only the Creator can make what he created work the way he made it. So once there is a disconnect between the creation and the creation, then the Creator becomes distorted. We call it sin, evil, whatever. You can't be good except you're connected to God. Jesus said it another way. He said, why call me good? There's only one that is good, God. So the only way I can be good is by staying connected to God. Once I disconnect from God, or I am, you know, separated from God, I'm no longer good. I cannot be good by myself, because I was made. The only person that makes me good is the God who made me. Without being connected to God, I can't be good. There is no such thing as being good outside God. It's a very difficult concepts to be, because you see, man has been taught erroneously that he can be independent, and that he can be, you know, that's what humanism is all about. You know, man trying to be good. No man is good without God. You take man away from God, he becomes a devil. He's even worse than the devil, you know, because Lucifer was not even in the image and likeness of God. You are made in the image and likeness, so you'll be a bigger devil than Lucifer. That's why God puts them in hell. I don't want to go there. Praise the Lord. It's true. Man is much more dangerous than the devil. You know, Satan is an angel, fallen angel, you know, but he's nowhere near like us. We have the God capacity. So just that we can have it for good, if we're connected to God, we can have it for evil. That's why God is taking his time to look after, to train us properly. He doesn't want any kind of, because the problem will be far bigger. Lucifer has been a big problem. If this one happens, it will be a much bigger problem than Lucifer. But God will not allow it to happen. That's why he's restricting us the way he is. He's giving us a spirit with measure first. Then he's training us to be like him. It's when he knows you are like him and you are settled, he gives you the fullness of his power. What happened with Lucifer is not going to repeat itself. Am I talking to anybody here? And so this is what we're talking about. So we're using the Lord Jesus Christ as our pattern, I will repeat, Jesus operated just like an ordinary man. I did not say he was an ordinary man. I said he operated just like an ordinary man. It's very important you understand that. Jesus did not operate like God. Now, he was God. But he was God stripped of his divine attributes. He was not omnipotent. He was not omniscient. He was not omnipresent. He was as helpless as you and I when he was on the earth. Amen? However, he had the Holy Spirit. So it was the Holy Spirit that taught him, that trained him, and that grew him up spiritually. Amen? So in the same way, the same Holy Spirit that was in Christ is in you and I. Amen? And just like he trained Christ and grew him up spiritually, he will train you and I if we let him. Amen? To grow up to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how you can be like Jesus. You can be like Jesus because, the same Holy Spirit that was in Christ was in you. Jesus used the same Bible. I was sharing with Pastor Wega recently, about spiritual growth, and the fact that Jesus took, when he was going to get his 12 apostles, he didn't have a vision. Some angel just come to him and say, Peter number one, John number two, James number three. That wouldn't have taken all night. That would have taken a minute. The angel would just appear. Number one, Peter. Number two, James. Number three, John. Number four, Andrew. Number five, Philip. And all the 12 of them, bam, up to Judas. End of story. And Jesus had gone home to sleep. It doesn't work like that. He had to pray just like you and I pray. Pray, pray, pray. Think about Peter. Think about it. Get a witness of the Spirit. Have peace about it. Put that, I got Peter. Then pray, 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 pray. Maybe another 30 minutes, an hour, Then get James. Then John. And so on like that. Only got 12 of them. And the thing, he said it. He said, did I not choose all the 12 of you? And one of you said, in spite of all my praying. You got to understand that. He operated like a man. Do you understand? The same Bible. Pastor Wiley was pointing out this out the other day when I was talking about the ability of the mind of Christ. Do you know, Jesus didn't have a Bible like you. You are far more privileged. Hello? There was no printing press. In those days, all they had was scrolls. The scrolls were so big, it took years for scribes to write on those scrolls. So there were not too many of them around. They were, but not too many. Only the very rich could afford to have scrolls. And you may have the Torah, you may not have Joshua, you may not have Judges, you may have First Chronicles, like that, because they're big, mighty things. So the place where everybody used to go was the synagogue. That's where you hear the word of God. Because very few people could afford to have a complete Bible from Genesis to Malachi, that was in the Old Testament time of Jesus, in their houses. Very few people could afford it. You understand? So the only place you heard it was that's why the Bible says he went to the synagogue as was his custom. So every Sabbath, just like all the other children in the neighborhood, you understand? They'll go there, they'll sit down, they listen to the rabbi. The rabbi will tell them this is what Moses said. So he did that for 30 years. So each time he heard it, he put it in his heart. By the time it was 30 years, he knew the whole Bible. But 30 years is not 2 weeks. He had to be hearing it and 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 hearing it. And the more he heard it, it got written in his heart. 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 So by the time he was 30, he knew it very well. And that's why, Incidentally, it took 30 years. Do you understand? That's why God, it takes time. The things, the true things of God take time. Once you see this one that wants to do this kind of shortcut, the devil is somewhere in everything. God is, you know, so the Lord, so we can use him as our model, you know. So in our last lesson, we were in Luke chapter 12. So we can copy his example, you know, and do the things. And we're closing Luke chapter 12 today by the grace of God, and maybe start 13, you know. And in our last lesson, I stopped in verse 56. So Jesus was rebuking the people and saying, you can tell the weather from looking at the sky. He said, how can you not then discern this time? And I preached that message on, you know, discerning the time and hastening the glory. You know, you just by looking at what is happening in the heavens and on the earth, you can discern the time of God's purposes, in particular in the time we're living in. Let's again go to Luke 21. Yeah, we're still going to come to it later on in this, you know, as we study along next year. But just quickly now, go to Luke 21 and 25, verse 25. You see, particularly this time we're living in. We're living now in the year 2017. And this 2017 is a very, very significant year spiritually, as we also go into 2018. And it says in verse 25, you know, Jesus was trying to explain to them what to look for when the time of his coming draws near. So in verse Luke 21, excuse me. Yes. And look at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun. Read it very carefully. Signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. So you're going to look at two places. You're going to look at the heavens and you're going to look at the earth. And then there's going to be a synchronization between the sign you are seeing in heaven and the one on the earth. Hello? Okay. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. If Donald Trump doesn't perplex you, I don't know what will. And Kim Jong-un, what's the most laugh? A funny fellow in North Korea, and a lot of our crazy guys around. We just not focusing on them. Those are the two main players. Praise the Lord. But you have this other guy in the Philippines. You have all kinds of, you know, the things that are happening on the earth today they're bizarre. You know, you'll be wondering, is this kind of people who are in government? You know, even in Nigeria. You know the way they talk and be wondering, these are the people who are supposed to be the governor and the senator and all of this. It's all part of the sign of the end time. Amen. You'll be perplexed. Ha. I was reading the papers today that they padded the budget. I opened my eyes and said, ha. I told Pastor Boy guys, ha. I thought these guys were the good guys who are trying to, you know, stop the other bad guys. You know, well, we keep praying for all of them. Are you listening to me? I was ha. You know, and the Senate president will say, he said they padded it, and then they put the same thing, they'll put it in about two or three places, double counting. So, you know, when you get the money, you only use it in one place, then the money of the other two places, the boys must be okay. It's called perplexity. I'm perplexed. You know, so perplexity, you know, men's hearts failing them, you know, for looking after the things that are coming upon the earth, the sea and the waves roaring. Let me just, you know, and they shall, and the powers of the four means the reason why all of these things are happening is because the powers of the heavens are being shaken. You know, he said then. That word then there is very, very important. It means that when you see all of these signs and everything the way I have said it, the next thing you're going to see is the Son of Man coming in a cloud of glory. Now, in this particular context, which I'm teaching now, is not the coming in the rapture. You see, it is because this is what the people see. That's what they're expecting Jesus. There are some people I read about today, you know, the ones expecting Christmas. They said, we're going to have a Christmas rapture. Trust me, there's going to be no rapture on Christmas Day. Come to church. I'm going to wait on one rooftop somewhere, waiting for the rapture. You know, and it's because, you know, their understanding of the Word of God is very limited. You see, the Word of God is a complex mosaic of the literal and the symbolic intricately interwoven together. That's why you need pastors and prophets to rightly divide it and bring it out. If you read the Bible yourself, you can get confused and get into a maze. It's like getting lost in a maze. Amen. Jesus said so, or rather the prophet said so. He said the word of God was unto them line upon line, upon precept upon precept. He said here a little, there a little. Why? He said that they may go forward and be snared or trapped. In other words, if you try and read the Bible with intellectual mind, you know, sense alone, you will get confused. You know, you get trapped. That's why you need anointed teachers, prophets, pastors who have the Holy Spirit that will be able to unravel and then rightly divide it and make it clear to you. That when you now read it in the light of what they have said, it will be clear to you. For in their light, you will see light. Because on your own, that's why you cannot read the Bible alone and stay at home and say, I have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. But that's why God put the same Holy Spirit inside the pastor and the prophet and the teacher and the apostle, so that the Holy Spirit inside the prophet and will now teach you, so that the Holy Spirit inside you can now show you how to follow the Holy Spirit that is inside the apostle and the prophet. Amen. You can't have it by all. You can't do it by yourself. Amen. That's why he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And as they come to church, go and listen to what they are saying. It's when you've listened to what you are saying that you can then go and read your Bible, then you'll be able to read your Bible in the light of what they said, and then you'll be able to get the sense of it. Remember Ezra? The Bible says they spake the word of God distinctly and gave the sense. There is a sense. There is a spiritual understanding inside the Bible, which if you don't hear the right people, you won't make any sense out of it. It says these are they, you know, who the unlearned and unstable, who wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. If you are unlearned, if you have not been taught by the Spirit, you can take the Bible and you twist it, and it will, instead of bringing life, it will bring death. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. It's very important. So this is an example of such a scripture. You know, now, so let me just unravel it a little bit. I've done this before, but it bears repetition, and then we can move on. You know, signs of the sun and the moon. This is the blood moon. We already have that now. There have been blood moons before, but this particular ones, you know, that happened in 2014, 2015, they synchronize with the feasts of Israel, in particular, the Feast of Tabernacles. So they are indicative that the Feast of Tabernacles is about to be fulfilled. Jesus said, when you see it, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. But he didn't stop there. You know, then this 2017, we had two signs in the heavens. There was one in August. There was this August 21. There was an earthquake that went all over America. It was all over the world, but you know, you don't see eclipses everywhere. It was a solar eclipse. It was across, you know, the continental USA. It started from the northeast and went right down to the southeast of the United States. What is this? It's a sign. Say there will be signs. And you see in Genesis chapter 1, he said, I put the sun and the moon, he said, for signs and for seasons. And, you know, and in fact, in one of the translations says religious festivals. Before these festivals were ever talked about. So God deliberately put the sun and the moon so that they, you know, their orbits will reflect his purposes as shown in the festivals that he was going to ordain that he hadn't yet even ordained. The festivals didn't come until Moses. That's why you should be afraid of God. Hello, somebody. So all of these things are already happening. You know, even the stars in September 23rd, there's this constellation, you know, that symbolic, again, all these are all symbolic things that show the woman with the sun, the, you know, clothed with the sun, is just some of the planets, Jupiter and all of them, you know, like the crown on her head. And then there was one of the planets is inside the womb of the mother of the woman, and then it comes out like the man child of Revelation 12. It's just a sign. It indicates that the man child, the perfect church, is about to give birth to. So all the signs, you can take them. Praise the Lord. They're all there. But and then distress of nations, of course. You know, as I mentioned, that Donald Trump, the North Korea guy, want to start, you know, there's this tension about nuclear weapons, and you know, everybody's trusting God that somebody won't do something crazy. You know, and so there's real distress of nations. You know, of course, there's Brexit also in Europe, England. You know, so there's something about England you need to understand. Why God will always save the Queen. I don't claim to understand it all, you know. But one thing I do is that I pray, and then as events unfold, God will start showing us. God won't show you everything. He will just show you a little, and then as events will be, say, okay, that's that, this one is that one. I noticed something, Pastor Greger. In World War II, all of continental Europe was conquered by Adolf Hitler. The only place that was not conquered was England. God separated England from the rest of Europe. They had the channel, but you know, it was God. It was just God. And I've told you this story many times. My pastor, Bernard Porter, and a lot of other people, not only him, Howard Carter and some of the brethren in the Assemblies of God, the day Adolf Hitler became chancellor in 1933, they started praying against it. That time, Adolf Hitler hadn't invaded anybody. He hadn't killed any Jews. He hadn't done any. In fact, he was admired. Adolf Hitler was admired. If you go and look at some of the scrolls, you know, the historical, these things, even Americans who admired him. Adolf Hitler was building autobahns, these lovely roads. You know, it was Hitler who did it first. You know, if you notice that one of the reasons why our express road has problems, because you're using bitumen and tar, but they built with concrete. The whole of Germany, you know, it was food that it was Germans that had that's what I call the autobahns, these big expressways. You know, people came from America to come and look at what this great man Adolf Hitler is doing. Look at this, you know, he says he's a great leader. You know, the economy of Germany was so bad after World War One. You know, Adolf Hitler, you know, he was able to revive the economy. People started meeting again. They had good jobs. You know, he set up all this Volkswagen. He was the one who made Volkswagen. It means Volkswagen. It means the people's car. So he was, Adolf Hitler was not a monster at first. He was a good leader. You know, he was a good, you know, and Germany started progressing. But on the side, he was building weapons. And because everybody had suffered from World War One and all the Wahala, the League of Nations, nobody wanted to really fight. So he just started all the things of the Versailles Treaty. He just started, you know, breaking them one by one. And he will look, nobody will say anything. They don't mind, and they can't fight. You know, he was not supposed to have, you know, more than so many people in his army. He tripled it. He wasn't supposed to build tanks. He started building tanks. He started building aeroplanes. Started building everything. You know, and anyway. And then he would tell them, you know, they'll have meetings and all of that. Everybody will be shouting, what are you doing? He would say, he said, I'm not doing anything. He said, I'm just trying to, you know, maintain the sovereignty of the German state. You know, all me and my people want is just so that we can, you know, our national pride that has been that was decimated in World War II, World War I, we want it restored. He promised them. He was lying. he was lying with his teeth, through his teeth. But you know, you tell them, no, I'm not fine. And then, you know, the final thing was Czechoslovakia in 1935. They had a meeting in a place called Potsdam, and you know, all of it was like, oh, you know, you. He said, look, I'm not fighting anybody. He said, there are people who speak German. It's called the Sudetenland. Inside Czechoslovakia. All I want is for my German-speaking people to join their German-speaking brethren inside Germany. So, if you let me, you know, annex the Sudetenland, he said, I won't ask for any other thing. He said, that will be the end. They believed him. Stupidly. Neville Chamberlain, the guy in England, he said, peace in our time. He was a fool. Once Hitler got the Sudetenland and strengthened his borders, you know, the next thing, he had already discussed all his generals. There was plan, there was, you know, Case Yellow, Case White, which was, you know, France. He wanted to completely conquer the whole of Europe and have a 1,000-year Reich. That was what his plan was. You know, and it almost worked. You know, but England, God, you know, these brethren had the Holy Ghost. So they say praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. They didn't understand everything. You know, Adolf Hitler came, you know, just bullied everybody. By that time, he was so strong and he was so powerful, nobody really wanted to take him on a fight. If he would stay within his borders, he would have succeeded. If he had just stayed with that Germany and he didn't do any other thing. But when he now attacked Poland, they knew that this guy is not going to be satisfied with only Germany. You know, and that was his plan. Within 6 weeks, he conquered the whole of Europe. Belgium, France, Denmark, Norway. Crazy fellow. You know, the only thing that saved England was there were brethren who were praying. And there was a channel. And he couldn't march across the channel. And to do a crossing, he had to first of all defeat the RAF. But he couldn't do that. You know, God didn't allow him. Anyway, cut a long story short. The point I'm making is that again, now, we're 70, how many years later? Do you understand? There's something about England. The whole of this EU.
Yes, sir.
One currency, one market, the single market. You know, I, you know, my kids schooled in England, and, you know, over the years, you know, I went to school in England myself and all of that. You know, in the last 10 years, 10, 20 years, 15 years, you can't recognize England again, Pastor Bega. All these guys from Poland and all of Europe, they have completely subsumed the system. England has this NHS, this health something. The people have, because of the EU, people, you don't need a visa or anything. You can come to England, come and work. So you take a taxi, you go to the shop, you go anywhere, it's Polish. She's either from Poland or from Estonia or Lithuania or one of these funny countries. So the English people feel that they are taking their country away from them. In a sense, yes. So that's what made all this Brexit. And they wanted to come, you know, they want to have their own independence again and all of that. You know, and there was something Margaret Thatcher, thank God for Margaret Thatcher. It was way back. It has to be God, you know. She never allowed them to change their currency to the euro. So we will keep the British pound. You know, so they kept their currency. And somehow, this thing with Europe has always been, you know, it's as if God knows something is going to happen in Europe. And he doesn't want England to be a part of it. Because I believe the Antichrist is going to arise from Europe. And so, not to allow England to fall into that rubbish, you know, that's why all this Brexit, so they're pulling out now. There's always something that looks as if it won't work, it will work. You know, it doesn't make sense financially. It's better for them to stay in Europe. Personally, I felt, I could be wrong, I don't know everything, God's having mercy on us, you know, I thought it was early. I thought, yeah, maybe they should get out, but maybe it's not. The Antichrist is not coming for another. Maybe they can still stay in Europe for some years, get all the financial benefit and all that. But the way the things are going, you don't know. So maybe God has to get them out now, otherwise it will be too late in 20 years' time. Time will tell. So, but the important thing here is this, you know, God has, because of the King James Bible and what God used England to do in taking the missionaries around the world and the gospel, God has always been jealous over England. When they want to do something that would be wrong, Mr. Governor, he would just allow something to happen. That's why they were not conquered by Adolf Hitler, and now they're not being annexed into the EU. They have stubbornly kept their independence. You know, and I believe we're going to see the prophetic significance of it in the years to come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, men's hearts are failing them for fear. I was talking about distress of nations with perplexity. You know, that's where I got off on that. You know, even the Brexit and all that. You know, so people are so perplexed, you know, about things that I have. It's all part of the signs of the end time. And then it goes on to say, the sea and the waves roaring. I went to do research on it. If you know the amount of hurricanes that happened this 2017, and the fury and the intensity, they've always had hurricanes, but nothing like the, and then the weights, you know, the frequency, it's all part of the signs. And so what's the next one after that? It says, men's hearts failing them for fear, looking after the things, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You see, all these things we are seeing is a consequence of the spiritual war that is going on between the church and the devil. It says, and Michael fought, and his angels fought, and the dragon and his angels fought. You know, and then there was this that. So all these things you are seeing on the earth, you know, the power, who are the powers of the heavens? The principalities and powers. But we also are seated, watch this, we are seated in heavenly places. And there are wicked spirits in heavenly places. So we are both contending for supremacy, for dominion in the heavens. And the result of that struggle is what you are seeing on the earth. Is it clear? Good news, we're winning. Amen. We haven't won yet, but we are winning. We're already, you know, we're going from victory to victory. From you know, God is helping us. Praise the Lord. And so that's what's happening now. So with this shaking and all of that's happening, the next thing that's going to happen is that the Lord Jesus is going to come in a cloud. Now, there's a literal interpretation, which is when Jesus comes in the rapture. These same things would happen during the tribulation, you know, where Jesus will come in the rapture and he'll rapture the church and everybody will see him physically. But then there is a spiritual interpretation of this, which is the one that is applicable as I speak, you know, which is going to come in the church. The cloud there refers to a gift. The Bible says he that boasts himself of a false gift is like a cloud without rain. So he's talking about the fullness of the prophetic and the apostolic ministry, you know, in through which Jesus will come. He says, you know, behold, I will send my messenger and he will come suddenly to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. You have two messengers there. There's the prophetic messenger and there's the apostolic messenger. Hello, somebody. Am I talking to anybody here? So you see these things, and that's why he now said, when these things begin to come to pass, what things begin to come to pass? The sign in the sun, the sign in the moon, the sign in the stars, the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart filling them, you know, for fear of what's going on, the powers of the heavens being shaken. When you see this, once you see, they triggered off 2014, when we began to see the blood moon, coinciding with the feasts. They've always been blood moons, but not coinciding with the feasts. So he says, when you begin to say, look up. He said, your redemption draweth nigh. He's talking about the redemption, spirit, soul, and body. This perfection. He said, look up for the manifestation of the perfect church. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's saying is short. So we are right on the verge now. We're at end of 2017. Hello, somebody. And that's why, you know, like I preach in that message, we need to pray more fervently and frequently, you know, than we have ever done before to hasten. Now, what we do or do not do, we don't know the day or the hour, but we know this is the time and the season. So what we do or do not do would determine how quickly, you know, that's why we can hasten it. You see, this is a very important truth, you know, before I finish what I'm going to do today, you know, that we need to understand. The things in the Bible, especially the types and shadows, are shadows. A shadow, this light now is going to cast a shadow on this pulpit. You know, if you can measure it, sometimes the shadow will be longer than the actual substance. Hello. Sometimes the shadow will be shorter. If the light is far away, the shadow is long. The closer the light source comes, the shorter the shadow gets. Hello? Spiritually, that speaks of, you know, the light there is coming from God through us. So depending on how we are operating will determine whether the shadow is long or whether it's short. So that's why we can hasten or we can delay. That's why none of these things are set in stone. For instance, I've shared this before. I shared this the day I ministered. You know, there are many ways of looking. I preached this very early when I started, you know, operating under the prophetic anointing. You know, I preached a message called Times and Seasons. This was 1991. You know, then I preached another one called The Joshua Generation. Then I preached another one called The Man-Child Company. I preached all this before Papa Ralph came. Papa Ralph just came to confirm, clarify, and amplify, and which we really needed, praise the Lord, and blessed us so much over the years. But I want to just bring out this. You know, if you're looking at the timing of the end time, you see something. Hosea 6:2 says, after 2 days, he will revive us, and in the third day, he will raise us up. Which is raising up is a kind of catching us away. Amen. So there's not going to be any catching away of the church until after 2 days. But what is 2 days? It's 2,000 years. But 2,000 years from when? Birth or resurrection? Since it is the raising up, we have to count it from the resurrection, not from the birth. So it's not going to be earlier than about 2033. But Jesus also said, this generation will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. What generation? The generation that sees the fig tree. What's the fig tree? Israel. 1948. 1948 put 100 years, a generation, according to Abraham. You know, in Genesis chapter 15, he says they will come out in the fourth generation after 400 years. Again, they are shadows. It doesn't have to be exactly 100. It could be 110, 100, and, you know. But 100 years. So you put 100 years from 1948, you're getting 2048. So you're looking at a time frame of somewhere between 2033 and 2048. Next year is 2018. If you add 30 years to 2018, what do you get? 2048. So you're looking at 30 years. Take away 7 years of tribulation, looking at 20-something. You know what I just done? I have understood by the books the number of years according to the book of Daniel. When you have that understanding, then like Daniel saw that the 70 years is almost up. So he began to see God in fasting and prayer. And that's what we're doing now, to hasten the coming of the day. Because, you know, giving these time frames, remember they are prophetic shadows. Don't ask us, Pastor Olubi said Jesus come in 2048. That's the next thing I'm going to hear now. Or Pastor Olubi said, no, I didn't say that. I said, I gave you a time frame and understanding the number of years by understanding from the books. You know, it's a prophetic time frame, you know, but it's a shadow. So it could be a few years earlier, it could be a few years later. But it's necessarily not going to be something far away, like 2100 or 2150 something. All the signs are there. Jesus said, when you see these things, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. So we know that it's imminent. That's the word. It is imminent. And that's why what we're doing now is so important spiritually. It's so important spiritually. And, you know, I don't want to get off into end time too much, but, you know, if you let's quickly, I'm going to come back to Luke in a minute. Quickly go to Matthew 24. Am I talking to anybody here? Somebody told me, Pastor Luby, I don't like this end time teaching. It always makes me afraid. You're the person that needs it the most. Praise the Lord. Amen. Being afraid will not wish it away. You are living in the end time. What you must learn now is how to survive in the end time. Hey, hello. That's why we need to preach it and teach it, so that the church will have faith for it and know how to conduct this, have understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. I have to show you what you need to do. You know, you are not going to wish away the earthquakes. They're going to come. You can't wish away none of those things because they're part of the end time. They're a result of man's sin that's tearing up the planet. The Bible says iniquity shall abound. You know, and all of this. So it's causing all of these things. But the good news is that the people of God, if they know how to walk, they'll be protected inside it. Hence, the scripture says, 1,000 will fall at your right hand, and 10,000 at your right hand. Ah, that's high casualty rate. That's a high casualty rate. 10,000 at your right hand, 1,000 at your left hand. So it's telling you, you're going to be living in a time of trouble, but I'll keep you. Amen. Give a Lord a clap offering, somebody. So you cannot say, oh God, let's pray there will be no trouble. There will be trouble because of the sin of man, the stubbornness of man, the rebellion of man. The other day, Australia just passed same-sex marriage too. They're not even afraid of God. Upon all we have preached ourselves, my face is almost blue. If a black man can be blue. Amen. You know, preach, you know, Leviticus, you know, this thing with the land will vomit you. You don't care. The conditions of the earth today are very similar to conditions in the day of Noah and in the day of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. They don't even care. They don't even care. Homosexuality, you know, it's rife. And even the people who are not homosexuals are endorsing it. Can you not see that an enemy has done this? In Canada, they're now marrying dogs and horses. And I told you what my wife and I saw in Canada. My eyes of purer eyes than to behold. God. I said, honey, kill it. I just... And then our hosts, who were brethren, you know, they said, ah, Pastor, what's your mind? Been here. No fear of God. They know the Bible. They know the Bible. They know what the Bible says. They could care less. And God said, says, therefore, he gave them up to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. That's where we are today. That's where we are today. The world is, they could really care less about God. Not everybody. They have people who have good hearts. But you have these other people, some other people who are, you know. Can you imagine time of Sodom and Gomorrah? An angel. Yeah. Angel came to come and save Lot and his family. The people came out, young and old. Said, bring them. We want to, you know, men, oh, homosexuality, you know, and they wanted to enter the house forcibly. You know, it's a devil. Yes, that same devil is around. That one will make a normally sensible man like Obama, you know, legalize same sex and then put the color of the homosexual on top of the White House. Ah, the day I saw that thing now. That was the day they lost the election. God made up his mind. with all of Trump's madness. And I love President Trump. I'm praying for him. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But, you know, with all of his faults, and he has many, do you understand? You know, he's still putting the word of God first. He just sent a Christmas message. You know, and he said, have a Merry Christmas. He said, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. You know, and I wished everybody a Merry Christmas. And before they would say Happy Holiday. Which one is Happy Holiday? Nonsense and rubbish. Which one is Happy Holiday? Are you not a Christian? Are you ashamed? You know, General Trump is doing something that they haven't done in years. They're not having Bible study inside the cabinet. Now in America, you can preach against homosexuality, nobody can do anything to you. You're in Obama's hand, they will arrest you. No wonder why God let him win. You know, we thought Hillary Clinton, you know, my understanding was, at that time, was that Hillary, you know, maybe she has a good heart, and you know, she's, you know, that when she gets in, she will try and, but really the truth about that, even if she wanted to, there's too much pressure. She couldn't be able to change anything. They would have tied her hand and roughshod over her. She would not have been able to. She would not have been able to. The thing is bad. It is really bad. I said all that to say, it is the stubbornness and the rebellion of man's heart. Don't they know it is wrong? You don't have to even have a Bible. The conscience against that which is against nature. You don't need revelation knowledge. You don't need an angel to appear to you. Even your physical body tells you it is wrong. And yet they continue in it. He says, and they that know that do such things should get the judgment of God. Not only do it, but they encourage the ones who are doing it. We have a big problem. Big problem. But God will deal with the problem. He has done it before. Go and ask people in time of Noah. He brought the flood in the whole world and saved only 8 people. God doesn't have time for nonsense. Do you understand? In the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, he completely wiped out the whole of Sodom. It's still there in Israel to today. If you go to Israel on tourism, you go and become a JP, Jerusalem pilgrim. They will show you where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. It's close to the Dead Sea. That's why Dead Sea is full of salt. That God has not changed. He's still a consuming fire. If he needs to wipe them all out, he will wipe them all out if they don't repent. Now, he doesn't want to wipe them all out because he loves people. Do you understand? But if you continue your stubbornness and your something, then you will see the other side of God. That God is a consuming fire. That thing gets me. I don't like it when people rebel against God. You know, I understand sinners and being tempted and, you know, the weakness of the flesh. But this one is not weakness of the flesh. This one is deliberate. Because your flesh doesn't even want to do it. It's against nature. You have to train your flesh to do rubbish. Hello? I don't know. Praise the Lord. look at Proverbs, Matthew chapter 24. Nation rise up against nation. We've seen this. Kingdom against kingdoms, World War I and World War II. You know, there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. It's happening almost every day. Earthquake is no longer news. How many people have noticed that now? Nobody, you know, where is the earthquake? Nobody just, you don't even listen anymore. Unlike before, a few years ago, if the earthquake, everybody will be saying, you know, today, but we have... You know, we have other important problems like North Korea to deal with. Earthquake is not the issue. It's no longer an issue. It is not good to get used to a bad thing. We become immune to it. Doesn't. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Like the birth pangs when a woman wants to have a baby. Then verse 9 changes. This is what I call the tribulation of the church. And this is where some of my brethren needs to listen. You see, many of the kingdom brethren believe the church is going to be here during the tribulation. But it's because they are seen afar off. You know, if you are looking at a sign and it looks very far away, you would think he's saying something that he's not saying. It is until you get close to it, you say, okay, I thought that's what he was saying. Yes, the church is going to go through some degree of tribulation, but we're not going through the great tribulation. And this is what is described in these verses. Verse 9 says, then shall they deliver you up. I didn't hear you. To be afflicted, and shall kill you. So some Christians are going to get killed. But you don't have to be part of that. Hello. I didn't hear. I just one or two amens. That's why I've been teaching you about divine protection. I've been teaching you about walking in love. Amen. You will live. You will not die. Amen. They will kill others. They will not kill you. Amen. Just like God protected Daniel, God will protect you. Amen. Are you listening to me? Like God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God will protect you. Amen. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. But it's coming. You can't pray this one away. And they shall kill you, and shall be hated. Now this is one that hasn't yet happened. Of all nations for my name's sake. This hasn't happened yet. We're not hated in all nations now. I mean, you still go everywhere. You know, Christian, you say born again. In fact, born again is popular now. Praise the Lord. Hello, I'm a born again. Nobody's saying what you go born again, nothing. I'm a born again. What do you mean? Go born again. Go born nothing. I'm a born again. You know. But the good news is that God wants to save them. Amen. We have to be compassionate. Praise the Lord. They're ignorant. That's why, you know. So you tell them and say, no, it's not like that. And you know, try and draw them to Christ. Praise the Lord. But the truth about the matter is this. You know, we're not here of all nations yet. So the question is, what will now suddenly make all nations hate us? The manifestation of the sons of God. That's what's going to happen. Because the manifest sons of God will start binding their princes and teaching their senators wisdom, like Joseph. Amen? They will start disciplining kings and nations and bring judgment. Go and read it. It's in Psalm 2 and Psalm 110. It's all there. Rule in the midst of thy enemies. Look, everybody look at Psalm 2 so you understand. Why do the heathen rage? The word heathen there is not, people are not, you know, we always say heathen. People are not Christians. You know, when we were younger, you know, I say the heathen, you'd be thinking about these people in Africa, you know, these tribes that don't wear clothes. So that's the heathen. Our heathen here. Yeah. Heathen is all doesn't believe. It's just nations who don't know God. Amen. Amen. So there are a lot of civilized heathen. Yeah. Amen. There are a lot of heathen in America. Yes, there are heathen in New York. There are heathen in London. Amen. The heathen is not the guy, you know, the aborigine in Australia who doesn't wear clothes. That's not the heathen. The heathen is anybody who doesn't know God. Heathen. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay. So look at Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? What do they imagine? Next verse. The kings of the earth set themselves. It says, we shall be hated of all nations. This is it. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, but not the Lord only, and his anointed. That's you and I. That's the manifested sons of God. Are you listening to me? And what's causing all this wahala? Next verse. Verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder. It means that they are binding them. Otherwise, why would they want to break their bands asunder? Hello? And cast away their cords. The Bible says Joseph, he says, he bound his princes and taught his senators wisdom. Because we're going to now start preaching the correct thing. Say, this is the way you behave. If you're in government, you're like Elijah of old, you know, give a word, you know, and somebody will fall down dead somewhere. Some judgment will come. They'll go and look for that prophet. Oh, yes. Remember Elijah? You know, he killed the prophets of Baal. You know, what did Jezebel say? God said, God, do so unto me. If by this time tomorrow your head is remains on your body and you are not like one of these prophets, even a seasoned prophet like Elijah ran. The man, a big race. With all the anointing Elijah had, raised the dead and everything. You know, there's one. You need to know your God. Yes, you know, Elijah missed it. And God was angry with him. He ran to go on top. God said, what are you doing here? He said, oh Lord, they want to kill me. They have killed all your prophets. I'm the only one that is remaining. Now they want to take my life. In fact, the best is for you just to kill me. Let me just... God was very angry. But you know, God was compassionate. God said, okay, chill. Take it easy. He said, you know, you've just retired yourself. He said, anoint Elisha in your place. Then go and anoint Jehu. You can't deal with Jezebel. Jehu will deal with her. You know, and he dealt with her, you know. And then God took him away to heaven in a chariot. You know, but he shouldn't have done that. And that's, we must not make the same mistake. That's why you need to be strong now. I've been preaching this, Pastor Lubijo, preaching. You don't know, lose the fear of death, or you won't be able to face the days ahead. God will protect you. But you must be ready to stand for God. Hallelujah. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Did they die? No. Did Esther die? Didn't Esther say, if I perish, I perish? Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say that our God is able to deliver us? But even if he doesn't deliver us, we will not bow. Did they burn? But if you're not, if you are still fearful for your life, you won't be able to. You'll be like Elijah. He will just run. That's why all these things must be solid in your heart now. You see, there's no persecution now. They don't hate all nations now. Because manifestation has, once the glory hits and the manifestation starts, and we begin to deal with some of these wicked leaders and bind them, and we begin to speak against homosexualism, you know, bring judgment upon the heathen, you know, tell them the right thing to do, people are going to hate us. Even your brother will hate you. Can I write it down? Your mother will hate you. Your father will hate you. Hello? Unless they are born again Christians themselves, and not just surface born again. Kojino. Because you know this kind of, I'm born again. all this, you know, half-baked Christianity. All of that will be swept aside. Because when the real challenges come, only people who have the true faith will stand. Are you listening to me? All these guys just go to church for, you know, prosperity and bread and fish. Are you listening to me? When the pressures come, you will see the true nature come out. The Bible says, you know, and they shall betray. Is there? Let me read next verse. Look at it. It says, you shall be hated of all nations. I didn't hear you. All those who don't like end time teaching, you are here today. Amen. And they shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So you answer Jesus like this. Hatred. So is it not those crazy people who dealt with that president? Is it not this one? Is not that prophet? Is not their church that this one goes to? Elogbe Fumijo. Oh yes, it's going to happen. It's the next thing. This is not the great tribulation. No, this is just the tribulation of the church. It's Jacob's trouble. Say, then shall they deliver you up? Okay. Then shall many be offended. Stop. Why will they be offended? They'll be offended because of the persecution. These are brethren. No. They'll say, hey, you know, Pastor, I'm telling you that you're extreme. You are extreme. Extreme. I don't believe, you know, God is love. You heard that before. You know, I don't believe all this extreme this thing. You know, leave them. God loves everybody. Even if it's a homosexual, leave them. Let them come to church like everybody else. I didn't say they shouldn't come to church, but I'll preach against it. Now, my love for them is that so that they will change. The Spirit of God can remove that thing. But if he wants to stay with it, then he's going to be very uncomfortable in this church. Have you noticed that if you come to this kind of church, to the glory of God, and by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, if you fornication, adultery, you're very uncomfortable in this church. How many people know that? Not like the other places where you can go, and you don't hear anything like that for 2 years. This one, about 3 or 4 Sundays will not pass. And it's not me. Is the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? This kind of church, if you're living an unrighteous lifestyle, you're not living in holiness, you're not living a pure life, you will hate this church. You know why? You feel under condemnation. I don't know why that pastor is always preaching. It's as if it's like Ahab. He said, I don't like Jehoshaphat. I've told you this, Elijah. I don't like him. You know, he never says anything good about me. How can I say good about a guy who's doing bad? I'm only going to say what the word of God says. Because you're doing bad, you always feel the word of God is against you. The problem is not the word of God, the problem is you. Change your lifestyle and you will love church. Instead of feeling under condemnation, you know, Jesus didn't condemn people. He didn't condemn people. Tell them, you know, try and help them. But he said, go and sin no more. This one where you want to continue, you say, we cannot be friends. Hello? Zacchaeus. He says, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I've done anything to anybody, I restore fourfold. Jesus said, fine. Salvation has come to this house. Exactly. Jesus didn't condemn him. His conscience told him, Jesus cannot live in your house and you come and misbehave. Hello, somebody. I don't know if I'm preaching anything anybody likes. People are looking at me. Pastor, hey, she preached sowing and reaping. I'll keep a nice, simple prosperity message. Okay, we are blessed the end of the year. The money. I just read your mail. You know, unfortunately for you, or should I say regrettably for you, you know, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying. Because that's the time we're living in. I'll be doing you a great injustice if I didn't prepare you. It's very easy to preach what you want to hear. Very easy. Also, you know, go to Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given to Abati Buffery Meta Katoshi. Good time to put in waste here at Buffery Meta. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Oh. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. They didn't start by hating one another, they started by loving one another. These are brethren. But because of the pressures of the time, and they didn't know how to, I taught you the other time, put the armor of love in and out. And they didn't solidify it. When the pressures came, their love waxed cold. And many false prophets, he didn't say a few, he said many, shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're seeing this in just in a little bit, but we're going to see it more. Particularly once the glory comes and we begin to minister and deal with all these kings and all these people in authority. Stop here. Let's quickly go back to Psalm 2. I didn't finish that one. Look at Psalm 2, verse 4. 5, because of time. 6. 7, 8, I will give thee the heathen and the uttermost part. 9, you shall break them with a rod of iron. That's why they're going to hate us. And dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. 10 of that, be now wise, O kings, and be instructed, judges of the earth. 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Next verse, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that were. Look at Psalm 110. Quickly, because of time, go to verse 3. Rule in the midst of thy enemies, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing, verse 4. 5. Aha. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the. They're going to hate us. The whole Elijah, end time Elijah ministry is going to come up again. And from the word of their mouth, do you understand? Judgment will come to kings and they will hate us. Next verse, after this. He shall judge among the heathen. Heathen there against nations. And he shall fill the places with and shall wound the heads over many countries. That's why they will hate us. Hated of all nations for his name's sake. Because these guys, now you go and see, go and look at them in Joel chapter 2. That's that terrible army. The Bible says, you know, the land before them is like the Garden of Eden behind them, because they're bringing judgment. You know, they're preaching the correct word of God, and they have the glory and the power of God, and you know, they bring judgment to people who are doing the evil thing, particularly the leadership. You know, the whole problem is leadership. All of Nigeria problem is 500 people.
Yes, sir.
It's true. They don't have any. We don't have a problem. The average guy on the road, whether it's from Yola, Kano, Calabar, you know, or Lagos, or Ogbomosho, the average guy on the road, the vulcanizer, is just looking for how he's going to eat and how he's going to help his children go to school. He doesn't care about all this Yoruba and all. He doesn't care about all of that. He's the top guys. They're the people causing the problem. But God is going to sort that out. Amen. Read Job chapter 20. God is going to sort that out. Hallelujah. He said he will at midnight. So that's why I got to close. That's why they will hate us. Because of these things. That is why they were here. And that's what's going to cause division inside the church. And that's why many will be offended and they will betray one another. And that's why your relationships now should be based on the spirit, not flesh. Your very brother, same father, same mother, will be the one who will go and give information to arrest you. So don't let them know everything about you. Love them all, be kind, you know. But don't be intimate. Hallelujah. For we know no more after the flesh. How many people know that Jesus was closer to Peter, James, John, and Andrew than he was to James and his other brother and Jude? When he was alive. Later on, James, they got born again and they came. You know, but when he was alive, they didn't know what Jesus was doing. That's why they were so sarcastic. They said, You are probably a prophet, whatever you call yourself. Said, if you go, let God show yourself to the whole world. Jesus said, you guys go. I can't go now. Then the Bible says he went secretly. His disciples were with him. You know, James, Peter, you know, his close guys, those ones knew what. But his own brothers, he didn't let them know at that time. So we need to understand this. I got to close. So what is happening now? Is this end time phenomena? You have to prepare yourself by praying, walking in the spirit, you know, watch and pray always, pray fervently, frequently, and build yourself up in the love of God. Get strong in the love of God, you know, and remove the fear of death. I'm going to repeat it, you will not die. You are going to live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. But you must not love your life unto the death. You have to get to the place in your Christian life where, like Paul said in one place, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. That's why there are so many miserable Christians around. Their whole life is only centered about this life. If you take out things of this life, you know, his faith in God is even almost disappear. Now, it's not going to happen to you in Jesus' name. Amen. But if you lost every other thing, will you still serve God? That was the test of Job. That's what the devil told God. He said the only reason why Job is serving you is everything is okay. He said if you take everything away from him, he will curse you to your face. And they almost did. Thank God for Job. Now, stupid woman. Said, so what's all your serving, all your groaning, your life scripture, your serving God, what's it all for? Eh? Curse God and die. Forgetting that there's something after this life. He said, I will tell him who you shall fear. Fear not those who can kill the body. But fear him who after he has killed the body can destroy the soul in hell. Life does not end here. Wake up to it and live by it. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Glory be to God. I'm not talking to anybody here. Hallelujah. Life does not end here. It doesn't end here at all. There's life after death. And it is when you know that and it is real to you, you lose the fear of death. That doesn't mean you go and die or you're careless. No. But it just means that you live in such a way that, look, God, you know, I'm living for you. And I know that when I leave here, I'm going somewhere better. Say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To depart to be with Christ, far better. Now, I don't go now. Praise the Lord. I know it's far better, but you don't want to go quickly. You want to go at the right time. But the thing about it is that you want to live. It says, they who, you know, all their lives were in bondage to the fear of death. The fear of death is a bondage. Live above it. Live a good life. Enjoy this life. Enjoy the things God has given us, all things to enjoy richly. But don't be in bondage. Let the devil know. I said it to him when I was 21 years old. I came back from England. All hell broke loose. I was almost pinned to my car. Satan said, hey, you see, I would deal with you. He told me. I said, well. I said, yeah, you may. He said, but I'm not going to change your mind. I said, after all, if I die, I'm going to heaven anyway. So that dog won't hunt. you cannot make me afraid with that. And I haven't changed. That dog will not hunt. Yeah, you can do anything you like. God will help me. I'm going to pray. My God is able to deliver. And even if he doesn't deliver me, hey, let it settle it. Eh? I'm going to serve God. So don't you bring that nonsense on my door. And you know, once he knows you're serious, and you know, guy is a bully. You go and look for somebody down the road he can bully. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. And so, I got to close. Let me just finish this and we'll do verse 13, chapter 13. Verse 57, yay! 12, Luke 12, 27. 57. Yay! It's not yay, pa. It's the year of the Bible. It's not the Yoruba yay. It's a yay! Why even of yourselves judge ye not? Verse 57, Luke 12. Judge ye not what is right. That's why I was saying, look at the skies. Look at what's happening on the, what I've just been preaching to you. You know what? You know Jesus is coming now. The time has come. Then he says something strange in verses 58 and 59. And that's why I don't want to end tonight without saying this. He said, when thou goest, I didn't hear you, with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into the prison. Into prison. I tell you. Who is talking? It's important to know who is talking. It's the Lord Jesus himself. When Jesus is talking, I believe you should listen. Hello? Thou shalt not depart till thou hast paid the very last one. What is the use of this thing? It sounds so out of context. He's talking about end time, the sign in the sun and in the moon, and then, you know, and he just starts talking about adversary and going to court. It doesn't compute. I'm going to tell you what he's saying. That's why the letter kills, the spirit gives life. You know what the Holy Spirit is telling you? In this end time, live a life free of strife. This wahala, wahala. Hey, this is my land. You know, Magbewalokot. You know, you are getting yourself set up for Satan. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Go and write it in your heart. Give it to me, 2 Timothy. I believe it's somewhere in there. Chapter 2 somewhere. Verse 24. 2 Timothy. This is the lesson here. The servant of the Lord. 24. The servant. Everybody shout it. Must not. That is a must. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a servant of the Lord? Whether you like it or not, you are. It's not only Pastor Olubi who is a servant of the Lord. We are all servants of the Lord. Hello. If you're a child of God, you're a servant of the Lord. Amen. There is a cardinal law. Must not strive. Too many Christians are quarrelsome. Very quarrelsome. You know, and you'll be quarrel. Even in the market, they will quarrel. Hey, for me, change me! Hello. Even in this Christmas time. Yeah, over cheat me. Quarrel about everything. Quarrel about you know, silly things. Quarrelsome. Always looking for argument. Have you met those kind of people? Always looking for something to say. I must make my point. I must do this. I must win the argument. You know, I must have the last word. The devil will kill you. That is not a curse. It's a warning. I don't want the devil to kill you. If you strive, that's why he says, if he says, settle with your adversary. He said, while you are in the way, before you get to the court, settle with them. He said, because if they take you to the place, they will put you in prison. And you will not be free until you pray the very last night, that might. And so now you may not live long enough to pray the last night. That's the lesson he's teaching us. Stop this quarrel. Some things aren't just worth it. It's not worth that 100 naira. Let him have it. If any man strive with you, he says, take your coat. He says, give him the... I have too many important things in front of me. My faith has to work. I cannot begin to divert and get distracted because of a coat. Let him have it. God will give me 100. He said, anything I give you this lifetime, say I get 100 full. So if he wants to let him have the coat, a few weeks time I get another one. You have to think before your nose. Fight. It leads to death. Look at it. Go back to Timothy. And trust me, I will close with this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul had 3 finalists. I'm still on my first one. No, this second one. All right. The servant of the Lord must not strive. I didn't hear you. I will talk as if I'm talking Greek. You know, all these scripture people don't like. You know. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be argumentative. Do you see why you need to put on those fruit of the Spirit every day? Fill and cover. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's why I taught it to you. Gentleness, goodness, self-control, patience. So that you will think, then you will speak, then you will feel, then you will act like God. So when you are agitated, you will not respond the way men normally respond. He says, are ye not carnal and walk as mere men? Born again, oh? But be gentle unto some men. Except Danfo drivers. Except your house girl in the house. Except that woman in the market that took the money and told you a lie and took the extra change. I just got your number. Or Keke Napek, what did they call it? All men. God wants to save you. He's the creator. He knows how the system works. Unto what? All men. Apt to teach. Patient. See why you need all those fruit of the Spirit? Hello? Next verse. In meekness. How many fruit of the Spirit have we seen so far? Four. You see why you need the whole armor of God? You can't have eight, or you have to have all nine. That one that you did not put on, that's where the devil is going to come in through. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. But you haven't heard the best of it. Next verse. That they may recover themselves out of the what? Once you get into argument, strife, you are already inside the devil's trap. Out of the snare of the devil, who are what? Taken captive by him at his will. Once you get into strife, Satan can walk in and walk out. There's nothing you can do about it. He can take you captive at his will. So the Lord Jesus said, in this end time, that's the context of Luke 12. We look at the sun, the stars, you know, and all the things that are happening upon the earth, men's hearts failing them. In this end time, don't get into strife. Be gentle unto all men, patient, in meekness instructing them. If they offend you, quickly pray for them. Quickly, don't get into it, because you cannot afford to be in a place where Satan can take you captive at his will. Too much is going on. 1,000 is falling at the right hand, 10,000 is falling at the left hand, because of the end time. Therefore, you don't want a situation where he can take you captive at his will. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Is it clear? You see, this message would have been incomplete if I didn't say this. And we cannot leave it till next year. Too much is happening. Some people are quarreling with some people. Go and settle it now. Tonight. Yeah, they will cheat me. Be cheated and stay alive. Am I talking to anybody here? It's better to be cheated and to stay alive and fulfill your destiny than to win an argument or get that money back and die, because Satan can take you captive at his will. That's why Jesus said, take. I can imagine in the middle of all of that, go just say that. That was the reason. You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need. The hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting, and here I find relief. So God to my heart.
You are the peace.
You are the peace that guards my heart.
My help
in time of need.
You are the hope.
You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees.
For here
I find you waiting, and here I find relief. So with all my heart I worship,
and unto you,
to you,
to you I say,
Lord, you alone deserve.
See your face.
Lord, you alone deserve. Lord,
you alone deserve all praise. Father,
we love you, and
we worship you this day.
Raise your other one to God.
For you alone,
you alone deserve.
Lord, you
yes,
alone,
Lord.
Father, we love you. We worship you.
Father, we long to see your face.
Lord, you alone deserve. Lord, you alone.
Respond to God. God is preparing us for the end time. We're already in it. The manifestation of the glory of God is imminent. Any minute, any day now. Personally, I'm expecting it any minute now, even before the end of this year. But with it will come, it's going to be the great and terrible. With the glory will also come these problems. And therefore, we have to be properly prepared. And like it says, and that we've taught, rooted and grounded in love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience should dominate your heart every day. Never leave the house without those fruit of the Spirit, putting them on that armor of love. Guarding your will, your mind, your emotions, your body, yourself with those things. So when you go out and you're attacked, you have a defense. You have an armor to be able to repudiate those attacks. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this evening, reminding me that we're living in the end time. We lift our heads high because all the signs you told us are already in the earth and in the heavens, and therefore we know that our redemption, the manifestation of your glory, spirit, soul, and body, is nigh. Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, give me more mercy, more grace, more mercy, more grace, more mercy, more grace. To pray, to watch and pray always, fervently, frequently, in the Spirit, to have the fruit of the Spirit guarding my heart all the time, so I'll be able to withstand and overcome the pressures of the end time. Oh God, have mercy on me. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that reveals to me and comforts me, saying, you will not allow me, you will not allow me to be tempted above what I'm able to bear. But with every temptation, as I watch and pray, you will make a way of escape, and I'll be able to bear it. Father, I thank you for this assurance. I appreciate it. God, have mercy on me. Give me more grace. Give me more mercy and more grace to watch and pray always, to stand in these difficult days ahead, Lord God, and escape all of these things that are coming upon the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray in the Spirit. Leba toloma toko, lipriki tufri de koko, toloma shaka koko loma tolo, lambriki tufri de kust, zefriya, rakatulo makoko, toloma tolo, lambriki koloma tolo, lambriki koloma tolo, ziki tufriya, yiki tufri de koko, lambriki koloma tolo, mukoloma tolo, lambriki tufri de freshi, toko koloma toko, toloma tolo, lambriki tufri de freshi. Tolomaras, Tufridis, Tolomangaras, Sheke Tufris, Longiro Tolos, Jiki Tufrinias, Tolomangar Dolomaras, Tufrinias, Tolomangares, Jiki Tufrinis, Tolomangaras, Tolomangaras, Jiki Tufris, Angaras, Tolomangar Dufres, Tufridias, Tufrinigars, in Jesus' name. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so clean with the blood, and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life.